Dirty Water News Fantasy Football Show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. It is a late edition of the Dirty Water News Fantasy Football Show. Today, it's a late, short edition, if that makes any sense. It's a 1:30 to 2:30 show. Welcome to the show. We're going to be breaking down week four and also our Monday Night Football, our Monday Night Football suggestions. Rob's going to give us some suggestions for DFS. Speaking of Rob, you can follow him on Twitter at Bobby Gomes DFS. He's the week 11 millionaire maker winner. Him and his brother last season won. Rob, what's going on, man?
Nothing. Just fresh off a nice in-season fantasy football loss to you.
Yes. Loving it. Loving it. Absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to mention a little bit later, but we can get into it right now. Absolutely interesting. I'm 0-3. Our Dirty Water News Fantasy Football League, 10-team league standard. I had the first pick in the draft. Rob, where were you? I don't recall.
I think I was at six.
Six, yeah. And you're actually 3-0 on the season.
3-0 on the season, yeah, until you ruined my hopes of the perfect season.
Your boy, dethroned you. You were looking really good in terms of just the overall season. Still are at 3-1. Your boy picked up his first win at 1-3, and a little fascinating just because Drew Brees and Alshon Jeffrey both ended up on waivers this week in our league, and for some reason nobody really decided to pick them up. So your boy swooped in and grabbed himself some studs.
Yeah, I should have been paying attention now. Tyrod Taylor kind of let me down this week, so.
Well, listen, you're a highfalutin man. You have much more important things to be worried about other than Drew Brees and Alshon Jeffrey in a small money league. It's actually for a title belt, which for some reason I just want it more than a little bit. Like, I want that more than money. Is that weird? Like,
no, I agree. I appreciate the
enthusiasm.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. So. Heading into the game, I actually didn't think that I had much of a chance, but you trotted out Tyrod Taylor, Frank Gore, Chris Johnson, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Richard Rodgers, Jeremy Maclin, the Bills DST, and Brandon McManus, of which your high scorer was actually Jeremy Maclin.
J-Mac.
Yeah, very surprising. He had some late garbage time points against...
I thought he had a pretty good game. It wasn't... as much garbage. Well, I think the touchdown was garbage time, but
right, which seems to be the case. And you know, garbage time obviously counts too. So that seems to be the case with the Kansas City offense. Is that lately the past 2 weeks is just
At some point we had to figure they'd integrate the wide receiver. Hopefully, it's like right. Been a concept of football since
right. And fortunately for you, Macklin's too talented to just not go to.
No, exactly. Spots. Especially if you have a weapon like him, and then you have Kelce and Charles.
Right, for sure. So you finished with 77.9 points, just a shade under 80. Charles Clay, you left on your bench for Richard Rodgers, and it sort of, it was less than a point difference. But Richard Rodgers, again, coming through huge with a touchdown.
I just told you.
Yeah, he's sort of coming to form here for the Packers, and that has a lot of it
has to do, obviously, with the personnel. Yeah, well,
Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson going down. I trotted out Drew Brees as my starting quarterback, and obviously understood why. A friend of mine, Steve, dropped him. I didn't understand that move, but he picked up Andy Dalton. So just based on how Drew Brees is playing, I felt like he could have traded Drew Brees for something instead of just dropping him. But so I had Drew Brees, Jamal Charles, a huge week from Justin Forsett that I didn't really see coming, just based on how he's played up to this point in the season. AJ Green, a very quiet 8.2 points, but my high scorer, my stud, another guy I got off waivers 2 weeks ago, Vincent Jackson, 20 fantasy points. Now people listening can say what they want about the guys that are out on waivers, but that just it. What happens is people, and this is a good way to teach people, just in terms of don't give up on guys so soon, just because you may be 0-2 or 0-3 or whatever the case may be. The same person that dropped Vincent Jackson in our league also dropped Alshon Jeffrey, who I was able to. That's essentially your third and fourth or second and fourth round picks. So to give up on those guys so soon, I thought was a little premature. I also had Jordan Reed at the tight end position, Latavius Murray in the Panthers DST. Go ahead.
No, I feel like I've seen this coming with Jeffrey just because of the situation in terms Chicago. Of, he's hurt, obviously, yeah. But
to me, you know, you drafted him so high, and I know to a certain point the draft doesn't matter, but you can't just be cutting. He's not playing well. Do you understand what I'm saying?
At this point, for me, the draft means absolutely nothing.
Right. So he's just hurt. Now, if you want to drop CJ Anderson after this week, completely understand it, because he's just not playing well. To drop a guy that's hurt and missing weeks, I mean, it just didn't seem very smart to me. So now, with this said, I had 104 fantasy points. I was looking at waivers, and I knew that you weren't really paying attention to the league in terms of, again, you have other important issues in your life going on not related to the Dirty Water News Fantasy Football League. So I saw that I think it's Garrett Hartley, the New Orleans kicker, is out on waivers.
Yeah.
I didn't have a kicker. So I said to myself, my bench is full of Amir Abdullah, Sammy Watkins, Jason Witten, Darren
Sproles. Wait a minute, you didn't start a kicker?
I didn't, and I still beat you.
You're supposed to start a full lineup in fantasy football. You didn't field a full lineup here.
This
is an interesting, we might have to go back and look at
are
this.
Are you going to appeal it? You're going to appeal this situation. So
I'm thinking about it. Now that I look at it, it's like,
So basically what I did was, I saw Mariota was on a bye. I didn't want to let go of him completely just in case Drew Brees doesn't return to form. And I didn't want to let him go to waivers because I thought he'd get picked up, especially with the fact that guys like Brees are getting dropped at the quarterback position in our league. So I said to myself, you know what? I want to keep Mariota. So what I'll do is, since Garrett Hartley is on waivers, if I'm losing, I'll pick up Garrett Hartley Sunday night and drop Marcus Mariota with the hopes that I can, you know, even if I lose the game against you, I can still pick up Mariota with my first waiver claim next week. So on Wednesday morning, hopefully I would get him back. Well, Vincent Jackson goes off. Drew Brees. Jamal Charles has a great game. The Panthers DST with 18 points. I was up by a lot early. So I watched the games and I said to myself, heading into that Sunday night game after the 4 o'clocks are done, if I'm down by any amount of points, which you actually came close, minus that 22 points from Drew Brees, I'm looking at about 80 points. So it was actually really, it was 82 points. So it was really close. As the games, 4 o'clock games were ending, I'm saying to myself, you know, hopefully he doesn't go up by some points here, because it was completely conceivable to me that Drew Brees could put up negative points and I could lose just based on the fact that he's hurt and he wasn't playing well to begin the season to begin with. So I didn't pick up a kicker. I still beat the $1 million man. And as I've stated before, this is a situation where I'm a late player in fantasy football. What I do is I go 0-3, 0-4, and then I make a huge run. And eventually find myself knee-deep either in the playoffs or at the very least, in the playoff hunt. So that's pretty much what I did.
That's the goal, right? You're just going to be there. As long as you're there, you get a chance.
So anyone will tell you that I am a very late bloomer when that happens. But so, I mean, good game this week, and I'm glad I won. And it was one thing I was really happy about it, and I was really happy I beat you, and it was my first win and your first loss. But then I quickly quickly remembered the things that you've done in terms of fantasy football and how this meant literally nothing to you. So I couldn't even text you to talk smack because
I would have appreciated the smack talk. I checked it a couple times yesterday. I knew this was going to be on the docket today. So
yeah. Oh, I mean, listen, I actually didn't even know I was playing you until later on in the week. I didn't check the league. So.
No, I didn't know I was playing you. That final like Friday when I went to set my lineup, I was like, oh, I'm playing Nick this week. Interesting.
We do a fantasy football show, yet we don't check the Dirty Water News Fantasy Football League. Good. For us, right? Awesome. All right. Now that we covered that, and maybe I'll have a couple of digs during the show. Now that we covered that, let's hit the front page.
Flash exclusive. Here's front page news.
Negotiations.
Contract extensions.
National Football League draft.
Free agents.
How's your fantasy team looking this year?
Fantasy football.
Front page.
All right, starting out for the front page, we're going to go over some week 4. These are the headlines I found very interesting. And we're going to start with my guy, Drew Brees. He essentially had his coming out party here. 22 fantasy points, 359 yards, and 2 touchdowns versus Dallas. What did you make of this game?
Yeah, Drew Brees, thanks for showing up. It's been a while. We right. missed you. I thought it was a great – Drew Brees was a great contrarian play, like in terms of DFS. 25.36 fantasy points was the third highest scoring quarterback on DraftKings. But also in standard fantasy football formats, 22.36 fantasy points had a late 80-yard touchdown to C.J. Spiller in overtime.
I mean, that really padded his stats, too.
Padded his stats, but this was like they needed this game, and the guy was absolutely lights out when it mattered. So,
Yeah, absolutely. A big win for New Orleans, for sure. But to me, it seemed as though there was something holding him back. And I know, you know, I don't think he's at 100%. So as a Drew Brees owner, if you want to touch on that, the fact that, you know, are you going to continue to roll with him? They play next week, I think, against the Eagles. After this 22-point performance, are you going to try to roll with the hot hand? Or if you have a guy like Marcus Mariota or a guy like Andy Dalton, are you going to try to maybe play matchups? Or maybe he's not fully healthy, so you're not convinced that he's going to be able to put up another 22-point game.
Well, the Eagles, their pass defense has been really suspect with what Kirk Cousins did to them on Sunday.
They've been suspect all year.
Suspect all year. What I see with Drew Brees is he was obviously banged up, and I think a lot of it has to do not only was he banged up, but he has a lot of players that they're integrating into this system. There's been a lot of turnover since last year and years prior, so I feel like they're still trying to catch on in terms of like an offensive standpoint down in New Orleans. I'd probably give it another game, but he's going against a defense that hasn't been good against the pass, been very susceptible to the pass, so could be a good play. I'm not going to rule it out.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, Brees would have had a 20-point game if that interception in the first half had counted, but there was a defensive penalty, and it gave not only the Saints the ball back, but it gave him a first down, because I think that was a third down play that there was a pick, and it was actually kind of an ugly-looking pick. But aside from that, you know, listen, this guy, the offensive line kind of showed up for him, too. I mean, he didn't get hit that much yesterday either. So, in Dallas's defensive line, it's actually been playing really well.
So, yeah, Dallas's defense as a whole has been playing very well.
Right. I mean, other than that, they gave up that big game to Devonta Freeman, which we're going to cover next. Other than that, I mean, they've actually played pretty decent. So, as a Drew Brees owner, I think I'm rolling with him as well, especially against that suspect defense.
Well, you better roll with him. You got him off waivers in week three for, like, one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'm going to tell
you
this.
You know what I mean? So
I'm going to tell you this. I was ninth in the waiver order. If you had looked on the league, you probably would have been able to get him as well. So, I mean, don't knock the hustle is what I say.
I respect it. I'm just saying. I think it's a good move. Your roster looks very, very – you have a lot of depth going
now
forward.
Now I do.
Yeah, you've been playing that waiver wire.
Right. You got to, and that's when you're 0-3, that's the type of stuff you got to do. All right. In Atlanta, Devonta Freeman, as we alluded to a second ago, he impressed again against Houston. 32 fantasy points.
Yeah, three touchdown game in back-to-back weeks. First player to do it since LaDainian Tomlinson.
Which I think we can agree in terms of fantasy purposes, he's no LaDainian Tomlinson.
I highly doubt that he can keep up this torrid pace, but Kyle Shanahan seems to really want to have a willingness to run the football with this Atlanta offense. So it'll be interesting to see how he continues going forward. You got Tevin Coleman coming back. If they split carries, what the situation is there. He's a rookie. They obviously want to get him involved in the offense. So it's going to be interesting to see. But Devonta Freeman's played very, very well in his first two NFL starts. So he's earned himself a little bit more of a look-see than someone who was going into a different – I just use the word look-see.
I used scotch a couple weeks ago, and I still get made fun of at work for it, so don't beat yourself up. Devonta Freeman, and I wasn't going to ask you if he can keep up the pace, because obviously not. But
no, there's no way.
How do you conceivably take this guy off the field with the way he's been playing?
I don't think that you really can right now. That's what I'm saying. And they drafted a rookie running back. Tevin Coleman was supposed to be the guy in this offense, not Devonta Freeman. He's the third down back, but he's proved to be much more than that.
There's nothing to say that Tevin Coleman won't be the guy this season. Just right now, as things stand, you can't take Devonta Freeman off the field. So if you're a Tevin Coleman owner when he comes back from injury, I'm waiting on that, and I'm gonna sit on that. I'm gonna keep him on my bench and just to see what happens with that running back situation.
Hold on to him. Devonta Freeman's had an injury history over the course of his career. Nothing too major, but
right. But you know what?
He's a good handcuff, especially in that offense.
In past years, Falcons coaches, Mike Smith, coordinators, they have tried to get the running game involved, whether it was with Steven Jackson. It didn't matter. They've tried to get, as long as Matty Ice has been there anyway, they've tried to get the run. There was a year, and I think it was 2012 or 13, they ran the ball. They were the highest total in terms of running the ball in the red zone. the Atlanta Falcons. And you wouldn't think that because they're such a high-powered passing
offense. That was Mike
offense.
Smith's team. Who was the running back from the Chargers was there? His name escapes me. He had the beard.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll look it up. But so what was really interesting in terms of last week was Terran Ward actually. And you know what? And the reason why I think it's only kind of interesting is because Terran Ward had more touches than Devonta Freeman, but that was because the game was out of reach so soon. I think if this was were a closer game, you wouldn't have seen as much Ward as you did see. But 14 attempts for Freeman, 68 yards, 4.9 yards per attempt, 3 rushing touchdowns. But then he had 5 receptions for 81 yards. So, you know.
He's heavily involved. And they don't really have a number two in that offense right now. Leonard Hankerson, is that the number two? I don't really think he doesn't stand out to me as a solid number two in an NFL offense.
Right.
So it's just the opportunity is there for Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, and he's definitely he's making the most of it. And you got to keep rolling with this guy. I had a fantasy question Sunday morning to roll with Devonta Freeman, the Williams from Buffalo, the running back from Buffalo, Mark Ingram, or there was one other guy in the mix. And I went with Freeman and Williams just because they have the best upside in terms of getting you the most points.
The opportunity. It's all about opportunity, say it week to week.
And, you know, I drafted Freeman in a 10-team league last season. So I'm about – Freeman coming along is about a year late because I was – even on the show I've said before, you know, during training camp, I wanted nothing to do with Devonta Freeman in terms of fantasy. I wanted nothing to do with him. And, I mean
– I feel like I was in the same boat. I just seen Coleman waiting in the –
Coleman, yeah.
Yeah, they used a second-round pick on him. Like, it just seemed like they were looking to go in his direction. But now – things have changed.
The injury, and then, yeah, he's coming up. They've changed for now. I definitely think that that's a fluid situation. I don't know if they completely buy in on the idea of Freeman being a workhorse back. But
the thing that separates Freeman is the fact that he's catching balls out of the backfield, and I don't think Coleman is going to be able to – I don't think he'll be able to pick up the offense in terms of on third down. So Freeman probably –
won't be able to take him off the field.
Yeah, they won't be – yeah, like you said.
Do you sell high on Freeman?
I might.
I mean,
I might, to be honest. I might. It depends what's out there, really. It depends on your league.
If you need wide receiver help, you absolutely sell high on this guy. Because when Coleman comes back, and I'm not saying that when Coleman comes back, he's going to take him off the field, but this was a guy, again, Coleman, that was in a high power, that was getting a bulk of the carries. So they're not just going to completely go away from Coleman and sit him on the bench. In Denver, a guy that you can consider dropping now, C.J. Anderson, his struggles have continued. He rushed 11 times for 43 yards, and he hauled in one reception for 27. Aside from that reception and maybe a 12-yard run later on in the game, and I think it was in the second half, there was nothing. This guy, he looks dead.
I think this is the offensive line. I really do. It's just like a breakdown. I was real heavy on C.J. Anderson. Ronnie Hillman hasn't really had great games up until this point. He averaged 9.3 yards a carry yesterday, went over 100 yards, had a touchdown, but he was stuffed at the goal line twice. It's just like they have issues. That team's too one-dimensional. I could see them being one and done in the playoffs when it comes time to.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, that Hillman, that 70-yard touchdown was all they needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In terms of there's a big hole opened up, and I think even C.J. Anderson might have been able to run through that hole. But my thing is, to you, is he droppable in 10, 12-team leagues?
Is he droppable? I would say as of right now, I wouldn't be starting him. I'd have him on my bench. I'm just I was obviously so invested in him at the beginning of the year, and now I'm kind of like, shoot, what do?
Right.
You know?
I started him over Chris Ivory in a league. I won the week anyway, but I said to myself,
look at you. Knocking them down.
Listen, 2-1 this week, baby. Uh-huh. 2-1. I know. I'll take it as much as I can get it. And I said to myself, as a C.J. Anderson owner, I'm giving him this last week, and if he can't do anything, I'm putting Chris Ivory in, and I'm playing matchups, or I'm putting Chris Ivory in until further notice, until I see something out of C.J. Anderson. Because you know what? When that time comes, and C.J. Anderson has a 20-point game, and Chris Ivory has a 3-point game, and I lose by 10 points, I'm going to be okay with it based on the fact that I haven't seen it from C.J. Anderson at all at that point during the season, so why would I throw him into the starting lineup now? Do you know what I'm saying?
No,
so,
I hear you.
You know, Ronnie Hillman owners, I don't think you can depend on him either.
I like Hillman.
Is he an every week
star? I feel like for whatever reason, if Hillman's down, if C.J. Anderson's struggling and Hillman's a third down back, I feel like Hillman's going to get his receptions in the passing game because of Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning can't go deep as he could in previous years. Obviously, the arm strength's kind of diminished if you've watched. So I feel like Hillman will get his receptions, which he did yesterday, I'm pretty sure. It's just a matter of – I think Hillman has the better opportunity in that offense right now. First and second down, they're not opening up holes for running backs.
I don't think that he's an every-week start, though.
An every-week start, but I feel like he's a start depending on matchup, and he has upside.
I'd rather have Hillman than C.J. Anderson, yeah. But I don't think that's necessarily a bold prediction. In terms of, you know, and here's the thing with us being a C.J. Anderson owner, is that you can't trade him for anything. He's not going for anything right now, so you're better off throwing him on waivers if you have a first or second claim and getting a guy that you like this week.
Who do you like this week on waivers?
If Tavon Austin's out there?
I've had Tavon Austin for weeks in a couple of my leagues, so.
Yeah, and I think it's hit or miss. We just talked about how Drew Brees and Alshon Jeffrey were dropped.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that Tavon Austin's out there in leagues.
He's out there somewhere. Just transitioning into Tavon Austin, 96 yards and 2 TDs yesterday. How do you feel about that? He went against a pretty solid Cardinals defense. Been very stingy this year against opposing wide receivers. And this looks like this is like Tavon Austin's coming out party. It's a trending topic with the league. Third-year receivers, that's usually when they catch on. Tavon Austin's had a rough start to his career, a couple different playbooks he's had to go through. Kyle Shanahan didn't use him when he was in the Rams system as he probably should have been used as the type of player he is in a slot receiver. So it's just interesting to see the kind of production we're seeing from him. He's already had two touchdown games within the first 4 weeks. So
Not two receiving touchdowns.
Okay. He had a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown week one.
So you asked me about, you know, Tavon Austin. Here's the thing is, so Nick Foles only throws to two wide receivers. It was Tavon Austin and then I think Stedman Bailey the whole game. So he's only, you know, it's not as much that Nick Foles is spreading the ball around. He's doing it from week to week, not game to game. Does that make sense? Like during the game, you know, he's spreading the ball to two wide receivers in one game.
I feel like it's game plan specific for Foles.
I can see
that. Targeting.
But what I'm saying is like, you know, you don't see games where he's throwing the ball to five different guys. It's usually only two or three guys a game. And those are the guys for the game. So you're going to see it in the first half. You know, he's throwing the ball to, this week it's going to be Tavon Austin and Kenny Britt's
there.
Thank you, Kenny Britt. So, and then the next week it could be Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey. So,
there's too many variables within who's going to catch the ball in that offense. I think week one it was Jared Cook. He's kind of been disappeared as far as production in terms of fantasy since that game versus the Seahawks. But mind you, Cam Chancellor was out. So it was kind of something that they probably figured they could attack in their game plan.
Yeah. 7 targets, 6 receptions, the 2 touchdowns, again, 96 yards. He had 7 targets, and then Stedman Bailey had 3. Not a lot of passing going on in St. Louis.
Patrick Peterson's there on Kenny Britt, so that's what it means. It's game plan specific, I feel.
No, 100% for sure. But as we alluded to, Tavon Austin can't be relied on from week to week right now.
Spot start, though, he's good. He's solid.
And that's the thing, though, is he has the ability to do this better than I think a lot of so-so receivers in the league in terms of, like, Terrence Williams, because he can run the ball and he's on special teams.
This is going to get off on a little bit of a tangent, but could you imagine if Tavon Austin was on the Patriots, how much different they would utilize a guy like him and his skill set?
I mean, would it be a ton different, though, in terms of his fantasy output? Because
I think it would be. Brady just look at what Julian Edelman does. I think Tavon Austin's a much better version of Danny Amendola if in the right offense.
Right. Fair enough. Raiders running back Latavius Murray was benched in favor of Roy Helu following a fourth quarter fumble. What do you make of that? Is this a situation where Latavius gets a starting spot back next week?
I wouldn't expect any serious ramifications. Murray's a young running back. The coaching staff was obviously, it was kind of a more of a focus type play. He kind of caught it was a toss play and he kind of took his eyes off, and it was a big spot where the Bears end up recovering the fumble and getting the ball back. I think they just kind of, it was like, get your stuff together here to Latavius. So basically I wouldn't shy away from him. I like him. He's kind of proven me wrong from what I expected from what I seen on tape last year. So I wouldn't be ready to like dump Latavius Murray by any means.
No. Absolutely no. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, you know, the offense in Oakland in terms of the coaching staff, do you think that they'll go away from him because of his fumble?
No, they're not
issues?
Going away from him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that this to them was, I don't think you need to be benching this guy. You're the Oakland Raiders. Like, you were in the game the whole game. There's no reason to bench arguably your best offensive player.
Yeah, he's not a rookie running back, but this is like his first year starting. He only started two games last year. They were two very good games, mind you. But
it's not fantasy related, but I'm just saying I don't think it was right to bench him at that point in the game when you're so close. If the game's out of reach, he fumbles, put you guys even more in a hole. I can completely understand taking him and throwing him on the bench. You're in a very tight game. You're trying to win in this division.
On the road, mind you.
That's kind of up in the air, right? I mean, like, you don't know what you... Denver is a very, very shaky 4-0 right now. So you don't know what you're going to... You know, you're in the middle of things here. Kansas City has definitely looked suspect. So if you're in that division and you're Oakland, you're saying, we need all the wins we can take because...
From a football coach's perspective, I can see why they went, all right.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. But again, if you're a Latavius Murray owner, personally, I am, and I'm going nowhere towards trading this guy. I think he is an all-world back. I think that if not this year, next year, you're going to be talking about him like you did with like Adrian Peterson. He's a big guy. He's fast. He can giving him the ball, anytime he has 20 or more carries, he's going to put up good fantasy numbers.
That offense, too, is just like, and it just helps him out.
Coming into their own.
Amari Cooper... Crabtree went down.
He came back.
Yeah. He didn't have the game that I thought he would have had if he had obviously played. But
they're a sneaky good offense.
And Derek Carr, man, Derek Carr is the real deal. Out of those quarterbacks from last year's draft, Derek Carr, it looks like he's going to be the guy. I would say Teddy Bridgewater. Who else was in that class? Bortles, Bridgewater, and Derek Carr. Okay. Derek Carr looks like he's the guy there. So out of that draft class.
Staying at running back in the AFC, Jeremy Hill had his coming out party for the season, totaling 3 touchdowns, 9 carries for 40 yards. It's worth noting that Gio Bernard had 13 carries for 62 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, welcome back, Jeremy Hill, but I wouldn't be too ready to jump all over the Jeremy Hill bandwagon because he only got 9 carries. Like we said, he ran for 4.3 yards, but he split carries with
Gio.
So it's just like, it's basically... I don't know which direction they plan on going in Cincinnati, but it looks like it's going to be a little bit of a muddled backfield going forward.
I couldn't agree more. But here's the thing: I love Jeremy Hill. As much as I want to get on this guy's bandwagon and say that he's going to be awesome the rest of the year, it's tough to do that based on the offense he's in, the game plan that they're running. Now it's obvious that they wanted to throw on this team. Cincinnati saw something in the game. The Kansas City-Denver game, they saw something in terms of the Kansas City defense that they said, you know what, we might not be able to run on these guys, but we can throw on them, and that's what we're going to do, and that's what Andy Dalton did. He threw. So, I mean, I think that this is a lot, you know, you can chalk it up to this is a lot of to do with game planning, but it is worth noting that, you know, they're giving Hill the ball in the red zone. He had 3 red zone touchdowns. So, I mean, they're not shying away from when it comes to red zone carries.
No, that's always a good thing in terms of fantasy football as well.
Which is ultimately sort of what you want as an owner of a
running back. I'm just afraid that the yards aren't going to be there.
Like I said, I agree with you. And that's what worries me as a Jeremy Hill owner. But with games like this, it would be hard for me to bench him. And honestly, I'm in every league, I'd love to have Jeremy Hill. But the only problem is that the asking price is just too high for anybody that has him because of where they drafted him. In terms of the passing game, neither running back had any catches or targets in the passing game. So it was obvious that what they wanted to do or what Dalton wanted to do was pass the ball.
Well, Marvin Jones, Eifert, and A.J. Green are kind of like the centerpieces there. Marvin Jones missed all last year. He's back. And he honestly brings a lot to that offense that they – really lacked last season, and I feel like it's a lot to do with why Dalton had the struggles that he had, and now look at how he's playing, you know.
Well, now all his receivers are healthy. That's right. All right, we are going to take we'll stick with it. We're actually going to hit on what's the damage.
Breaking news out of Foxborough this morning, and it's not the good kind. Confirming our worst fears about tight end Rob Gronkowski. A source tells the Globe that he has a torn ACL and MCL in his right knee.
Casualty count.
Nahal Charles is down. He might have hurt his knee.
Just a terrible injury.
He's carted into the locker room, but it doesn't look good.
Grade 2 sprain to the MCL.
Got a midfoot sprain. Forced McFadden to miss most of Sunday's game against the Chiefs.
This is going to be the defense you're going to see this year.
Yeah, I was saying the front four was the starting front four.
Oh, big collision.
You look very dapper today.
Yeah, I'd work earlier, you know?
You got the so when you go to the conference, I'm sorry, I can't.
You gotta look good
place,
at work, I feel like, right?
You got the nice suit going. Awesome. Are those boat shoes?
These are boats.
Rocking the boats that for the boats, Boat-a-Rooney's over there. Socks or no socks on boat shoes?
I'm wearing socks today because it was a little chilly out, but
normally you don't.
It's up for debate.
Girlfriend bought me boat shoes. I don't know if I gotta wear socks.
I don't
stupid.
Usually wear socks with boat shoes, but
you gotta let the piggies out.
Yeah,
let them breathe. I can understand that. All right, going to Green Bay. Packers wide receiver Davante Adams, quote, plans to be smart, end quote, with his ankle sprain.
Good. Be as smart as you want, Davante. I love it for like James Jones owners, Richard Rodgers, who I'm on
Cobb,
every week.
As if Cobb couldn't get any better.
Cobb, yeah. Cobb's a little banged up himself. So then there's even more opportunity there for these low guys in that offense who will definitely have high value, being that it's Aaron Rodgers who's throwing them the ball. Ty Montgomery is another one.
Touch on Ty Montgomery for me, because you would think that with Davante Adams out, Montgomery would have a good game. Actually, quite the contrary. And I know that Green Bay struggled in terms of throwing the ball. San Francisco always matches up pretty well with Green Bay for some reason. But in terms of passing the ball, Montgomery wasn't really involved. He did have 6 targets, but he had 3 receptions for 15 yards, and he also had 2 rushes for 10 yards.
Yeah, he's a lot of Ty Montgomery. I see a lot of Randall Cobb in Ty Montgomery, I feel like. And obviously, Randall Cobb was in for the majority of the game. He got hurt. But then James Jones and Aaron Rodgers just seem to be on like this. They're on another level when it comes to everyone else who's playing in the football game, whatever football game that they're in at this point. So I just see him looking that way. And then Richard Rodgers, I feel like they implemented him a little bit more into the offense. And Ty Montgomery kind of just got lost in translation, really.
One touchdown pass for Aaron Rodgers, and even that one touchdown pass, he still had 16 fantasy points. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, he's on another world, that guy.
Now, as it pertains to Davante Adams, is he droppable?
No, he's not droppable, but he doesn't have the value that he had before James Jones was signed by the Packers. And I think we're obviously seeing that playing out now.
I think it's a combination of James Jones getting signed and the injury and him not performing when he is healthy and on the field. And that's why I think it would be tough for me to drop Davante Adams, especially with what's on waivers this week. I don't find there to be anything that you could stick with.
I feel like you don't drop guys in offenses that have the potential to break out from game to game, because his value, even though he's probably not a starter as of right now, he's a good spot start in terms of going forward when he gets it back and reacclimated into this offense.
I'll say this, and to your point, if Ty Montgomery plays well yesterday, has 80 yards and a touchdown, 50 yards and 2 touchdowns, it would be hard for the coaching staff to take him off the field and put in Davante Adams when Adams gets healthy. So the thing that's saving Davante Adams right now is the fact that Ty Montgomery isn't, not that he's not playing well, but he's not putting up big numbers. Again, 6 targets, 3 receptions. Want to make more of your opportunity, right? And so I think as a Davante Adams owner, you're not dropping him because you see that Ty Montgomery's not doing much either. I know in my 10-team league, I was considering dropping Davante Adams for Ty Montgomery.
I don't think that they would be so quick to go away from Davante Adams even if Ty Montgomery were to have the 2 touchdown game yesterday.
And the reason why I think they would is because Davante Adams, when healthy, just isn't playing well to begin with. You know,
How he came on late last year, I feel like he's kind of carved out his niche in that offense as of, at least for the time being. Like, this isn't something that's going to last forever. Like, at some point he's going to have to perform. I just don't think that they're going to upseat him for a rookie wide receiver at this point.
Speaking of rookies, rookie running back, his name always escapes me.
Carlos Williams.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeesh. Carlos Williams put up double digits. And obviously we know LeSean McCoy, his status isn't in doubt. But he does have another small tear in his hamstring. He could miss another 4 to 5 weeks. And he's come out and said he's not coming back until he's
100%. What a move that looks like by Chip Kelly, the more I keep that. Well, if Kiko Alonso didn't tear his ACL, well, he didn't actually tear his ACL, but he's out because he sprained it. So, I don't know. It just seems like an interesting tidbit. I kind of got off on a tangent. But, yeah, Carlos Williams, no, 2.2 yards per carry yesterday. That scares me. He's had a touchdown in every game so far this season. It's just something that
– The talent's there.
The talent's there.
He's not touchdown dependent. I wouldn't consider him like an Alfred Morris.
It was a receiving touchdown.
Right, but I mean, yeah, so
– The Giants did a good job of bottling up
Right. Would you call him touchdown dependent? Like he needs to score to have a good week?
Well, he is when Shady McCoy's in the offense. I think
right.
Next week he'll have a better week.
As long as McCoy's not playing.
As long as McCoy's not playing. Yeah, I agree with
that. Now, as it pertains to LeSean McCoy, you're obviously holding on to him, but if you can trade him for anything, do you?
I would trade him. I'm not a big Shady guy. I think he's good on paper. I just don't see.
I think if you need help at other positions, I think if you have guys like Danny Woodhead that can perform from week to week, depending on the matchup, if you have a guy like Devonta Freeman that you picked up off waivers, that, you know, where you have a stud running back and then you got McCoy and you got somebody on waivers that you can plug in and get a decent wide receiver for McCoy, I don't see what's wrong with trading him. You know, I think he'd be okay to trade, but you're sort of trading low at this point. So maybe if you wait until he comes back and maybe you gamble on him coming back and performing well, putting up double digits and then building on that.
Yeah, I feel like that's obviously a possibility. They really want to run the ball in Buffalo, so it's just when he was in there, Carlos Williams was still getting – he's had 3 rushing touchdowns these first 3 games. So,
very interesting. Andrew Luck is day-to-day with a shoulder injury, but the latest report as of this morning has him playing on Thursday Night Football versus Houston. What did you make of him missing the game?
There's a lot going on in that situation that seems very interesting.
That's
to
above
me.
Football.
I feel like it's above football, yes. I feel like if he plays Thursday night, obviously he's Andrew Luck. He's going against Houston. I think it's a good matchup for him. If he doesn't play, Matt Hasselbeck show again. So, I don't know. I feel like he has to get on the field. This is like, they just lost to the Jaguars. You know what I mean?
No, they beat them.
Oh, they beat them 16-13. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. They beat them. I read that wrong. No, so, yeah.
In terms of Andrew Luck, you're rolling with this guy. Drafted him high for a reason. So you're rolling with him, no doubt. I mean, you'd think he's going to turn it on at some point. But there's obviously no doubt that guys like Andre Johnson, T.Y. Hilton, they're struggling. With and without Andrew Luck, they're struggling. We've already maintained, at least I've said publicly, Andre Johnson is droppable in all leagues, no doubt about it, easy money. Because I understand your line of thinking with a high-powered offense not wanting to drop those guys, but there's not been a single instance that you've seen this guy even remotely involved in this offense.
Yeah, how much is that to do with matchups and then Luck sitting out versus Jacksonville? And then it's just, I don't know.
Would you drop Andre Johnson? Is he droppable to you in 10, 12
teams? Right now, he's probably droppable.
Now, what would you say is the difference between Andre Johnson and Davante Adams in their situations, aside from, you know, the injury and, you know, whatever, but the reason why they're not playing well? Because you'd keep Davante in a high-powered offense.
Davante is obviously in the offense that he's in. Andre Johnson's also in a high-powered offense. But Davante Adams is not on the wrong side of 30 at this point, so.
Higher upside. The Cowboys fear running back Lance Dunbar tore his ACL and MCL in last night's loss to New Orleans, as if things couldn't get worse for Dallas but get better for fantasy owners. And you never want to wish for an injury. You never want to hope for an injury, right? But
Dunbar had a great run in that game early on last night. It's obviously for fantasy owners, it's kind of a good thing. I don't think that's the right way to look upon it, because this is obviously a guy's livelihood. ACL, MCL, it's a really tough injury to come back from. If I'm looking there, it's good for, and I own Joe Randall, like, this is great, I guess. I don't want to say it's great. It's just, I
well,
just feel
no,
unsympathetic.
It, here's the thing. It's okay to say that this is better for Joseph Randall and DeMarco Murray, Joseph Randall and DMC owners. I think it's okay to say that. Nobody hopes for injuries, right? But, you know, eventually, you know, they happen. And so, you know, just speaking in terms of fantasy, what do you make of the fact that they took Randall off the field after the fumble goal line that they ended up calling a touchdown? He was essentially non-existent the rest of the game. And by all reports, they had warned Randall about doing that during a game that week. So this week or you know, late last week before the game, they had warned Joseph Randall, don't do stuff like that. And he did. He scored. But just like Jason Garrett came out in the post-game press conference, he said that's not always the case. And we don't want our running backs doing that. Benched him, threw into DMC, and he didn't do much. 30 yards on 10 carries, I think.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's funny just because now it feels like Jason Garrett kind of has, like, he's in control there when previously Jerry Jones would probably call down and be like, what are you doing? And, like, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I honestly like the move by the coaching staff. Not great for fantasy owners, but makes sense.
Right, but in terms of fantasy, you can obviously, you know, in my opinion, you can keep rolling with Joseph Randall. You know, DMC is a guy you want to keep on your bench for now. If there's another injury, maybe he's going to be more involved in the offense.
It would be very interesting if Joe Randall went down and then DMC was like the guy there.
It would be interesting because I think that DMC would get hurt that game.
That's a good possibility. Yeah,
that guy handles any more than 10 carries a game. He's suspect to have a twisted ankle. But, I mean, these guys, listen, it seems as though with injuries, running backs are at a premium right now. And so you can take a guy like Randall and maybe package him up and trade him for a stud. Or you hold on to him based on the fact that, again, running backs are in demand and you just roll with him. Because this is a game-to-game situation. You know, as long as Randall doesn't do dumb stuff, he's going to be fine. You know, and as long as Randall continues to run behind that awesome offensive line, he's going to continue to produce. So I think you can keep rolling with Randall. I think this was a one-game situation. Now in New York, Giants tight end Daniel Fells underwent foot surgery. He could miss the rest of the season. Larry Donnell played 69 of 74 snaps with Fells sidelined. In an offense like the Giants, you know, in terms of Daniel Fells, he was making his mark on the offense. And it wasn't good for Larry Donnell owners, but as it relates to the Giants offense and Larry Donnell, this only, unfortunately for Fells, it's awful, but for Donnell, he's a guy I think you can start almost every week.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you, especially with the status of Victor Cruz up in the air. I think he's coming back, but he's just another option in that offense. And the opportunity is there. You can't go away from that. So
Eli Manning, 18 fantasy points. And I think that with a guy like Larry Donnell in that offense full time, those numbers are only going to go up. And so for Larry Donnell owners, I would say continue to stick with him through the rough patches. If Charles Clay is out on waivers, I would go grab Clay over Donnell. But Larry, I mean, it's the only issue with tight ends is that there's one or two studs, and then, you know, the rest are muddled up in this area that's based on matchups, and you don't really know what you're going to get from guys from week to week. Two more headlines here that just came down the wire. Cecil Shorts in Houston. ESPN's Adam Kaplan reported that he has a dislocated shoulder. He's doubtful for Thursday night's game against the Colts. So for the Houston offense, what do you see? Without Cecil Shorts, now they're going to roll with Nate Washington. I mean, Cecil Shorts, guy put up numbers in Jacksonville.
Got a touchdown last week, I'm pretty sure.
So what does this do offensively for what Houston wants to do? I mean, their quarterback situation's a mess.
I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Arian Foster this Thursday night. And you're going to see a lot of, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins, who I think right now is probably, other than Julio Jones, might be the second best receiver in fantasy, I feel like.
In terms of the wide
receiver?
Well,
Antonio Brown. So I would not. DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, and Julio Jones, I feel like, are the guys right now.
In terms of the wide receiver position in deeper leagues, like 14-team leagues, Cecil Shorts, you can hold on to him and see what happens because, you know, unfortunately, in a league that big, there aren't very many options. So Cecil Shorts, for now, you know, you're going to put him on your bench, but a guy that he has the upside, you know, and I know we use that word a lot on the show, upside, But he's got it. He just needs a decent quarterback to be throwing.
And that's
the
issue there. They have a muddled quarterback situation. I think they made a switch again from Ryan Mallett back to Brian Hoyer late in that game last week. So
by all accounts, it would seem as though that was only because they were getting trampled, and the way that coach his name escapes me.
Bill O'Brien,
the way Bill O'Brien, you know, the way he said it was basically it was a substitution because of the game flow and how much they were down by. So he downplayed it completely. I could see a sub. I mean, here's the problem, right? He goes to Mallett so quick in week one. You can't be swapping every other week between these guys.
No, this is the NFL. That's what it is. I think that's, even though I don't agree with Mike Pettine's decision in Cleveland with Josh McCown, I think he did a good job by going with one guy and sticking with his guns. And I feel like Bill O'Brien's kind of playing with fire here in terms of his situation in Houston.
I don't know that he has much of a choice because he went to Mallett so soon. You can't. Now, for fantasy purposes, you're not starting either one of these guys. Even in a two-quarterback league, a 10-team two-quarterback league, I'm not touching one of these guys. There's other guys on waivers that I'd rather go after.
I think Foster's definitely going to tout the rock this Thursday night. Probably heavy usage.
So the idea is he was close to 100%, but because of game flow and how much they were getting killed by, they weren't going to run him out there to hope to possibly get hurt again.
Yeah, he had a quick 3 fantasy points right out the gate, so they hadn't intended on using him. It was just a matter of they got down early, and then
right.
He just kind of, just the way the game flow kind of, like you said, he kind of just got into a situation where he wasn't playing.
And finally, in Buffalo, going back to Buffalo, we hit on LeSean McCoy, but now Sammy Watkins. The Bills have, quote, no idea, end quote, about Sammy Watkins' calf injury, or his week 5 status, rather. Hopefully we'll know more about it Tuesday, Rex Ryan said. He looked good moving around decent, so hopefully that's a good sign, but I'm certainly not the guy who will decide that. It's worth noting, you know, Watkins could be 50-50 for Sunday's game against the Titans. But in theory, all signs would point to him missing another week.
Yeah, Bills receivers at this point, it's just there. You have Harvin, Woods, and Watkins, and it's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel on who's going to perform week to week. I like Watkins. I'm not as highly on him as some people.
I mean, he hasn't performed to this point.
No, he hasn't. But how many of their receivers have is the question. Robert Woods kind of had a okay game 2 weeks ago or a week ago, and then he has a big fumble late yesterday. It's just, I don't know. They just have and Percy Harvin obviously had a great week one, and now he's kind of like non-existent, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, I think that Percy Harvin with, who's going to step up in that offense? To me, it's Percy Harvin with Sammy Watkins down. I mean, you saw Tyrod Taylor go to him a ton yesterday. And I know that they were down by a lot.
What did he finish with? What was his?
Percy Harvin had 8 targets, 3 receptions for 26 yards. By far the most targets on the team. It would seem as though him and Tyrod Taylor have quite a connection. It's just they have an issue connecting.
Yeah, that would be the, it's probably the big thing there.
Yeah, so I think that he's got the most upside of wide receivers in that offense, even if Sammy Watkins comes back, just because of how much they're including this guy in their game plans from week to week. So, I mean, in terms of Percy Harvin, or in terms of, Sammy Watkins, I think he's worth keeping on your roster for now, seeing what happens when he comes back. I mean, if you have the depth, you know, a lot of people don't have the depth at wide receiver, but if you have the depth, he's definitely worth holding on to.
Yeah, no, makes sense. That's basically, like, that's how I kind of view it, the same exact way.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Do you have any DFS plays for Monday night?
I do. I like Thomas Rawls if Marshawn Lynch isn't playing.
It
would seem as though he's not.
Yeah.
And a good contrarian play, I like Amir Abdullah. I just feel like a lot of people probably not too high on him, and he's going up against Seattle, the defense, and I think that they might end up down, and if they're throwing the ball, he could get a bunch of receptions. Theoretics, another running back that would also seems to be involved in that passing game. They run like really deep routes, so the only people catching short passes are the running backs for whatever reason, and that would be my 2 plays that I really like for Detroit. And then in terms of Seattle, obviously, like Russell Wilson, Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin's another one. I just think that the Seattle defense is also a great pick with Matt Stafford and his struggles on the road. I don't think he's ever beat a 500 team in his career, to be above 500 team in his career on the road in for Detroit. So,
do you think they cover?
What's the spread?
9.5.
Detroit covers?
Yeah. Do you think they cover?
This is the
betting part of the show.
Yeah, this is the bet. I don't know. I 9.5
without Marshawn Lynch, and that Lynch is that offense. So
maybe
me,
they yeah, I'd give them the cover.
I think they cover. I don't think they win, but I think they cover. Now for DFS plays, how smart is it to play a guy like Russell Wilson against a what would seem as though a suspect defense at home?
I love Russell Wilson in this game. Like I said, Jimmy Graham as well. I think this game, I don't know about the 9.5 in this game.
Well, hold on. Let's try to hit on DFS if we can. I don't think that Jimmy Graham is worth his salary in this game. I mean, I just think until you really see it from him.
But with Lynch out, I feel like.
That's true, too.
That's where they're going to get him involved if they are eventually. They get him involved, but he's just. I don't think that he understood that he probably wasn't going to be the centerpiece of this offense like he was in New Orleans. It's Marshawn Lynch's offense. Marshawn Lynch isn't playing tonight, so it might revert to Jimmy Graham. But
and what's fascinating to me is that they don't have any pass catchers, so conventional wisdom would tell you, just based on the fact that they don't have any pass catchers and their best, arguably their best offensive player is probably going to miss the game. I mean, you could just see a heavy dose of Thomas Rawls in this game.
Yeah, if Rawls is the guy, Rawls is the guy. He's very low on DraftKings. I think he's like 3,000 in terms of salary. He's a guy that I targeted like early in the week last week, but I was just and then I kind of took him out of lineups because you have a guy like Lynch and he's getting the extra day on Monday. Maybe they want to play him and they would start him if he's like still he's getting that extra day of rest. So it would make sense if he's kind of ready to play, they could play him.
Based on and I'm gonna. Just bring this up to you.
I think Abdullah is going to have a good game tonight.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And Joik Bell, no dice on DFS.
Joik Bell's, I think he's out.
Oh, is he out?
Yeah,
okay,
so
fair enough. Shows you how
adds
much I know.
To the play of Amir Abdullah.
Absolutely. And so, Rob, check out this trade: Rob Gronkowski for Antonio Brown and Mark Ingram. Who won the deal?
I like the who got Gronk.
No one in our league. It's a different league.
Mark Ingram and Antonio Brown. It's kind of like more. I don't know.
Well, you nailed it. All right. That's it for the show.
I don't know. I have no idea.
We will be back tomorrow. Maybe Rob will be back, but I know that I'll most likely be back 1:30, 1:30 to 2:30, 1 hour show. Rob, thanks again. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow, bud.
Yeah, I think I'll be here.
Adios.
Adios.